my first third step I wanted to take with a priest on the moon. I was going to wait till they found one standing up there, and then I heard a talk by a guy, Jack B., and he said the fifth step follows the third, and your life's in the care of God. And if you pray to God, nothing is going to happen from your fifth step that will ever hurt you. There is no guarantee the person you did it with will not get drunk. I want to spell this out because, boy, Jack put it maturely. There's no guarantee that he may not say something you told him. But God guarantees when it comes back to you, it is not going to hurt your peace. And I had that happen in a different way. I told someone one of the most destructive secrets I have, and one that out in public could ruin me. I don't know if the statute of limitations had ended yet or not at that time. And I did it. I did it because the person needed to hear it. And the person was a drug addict and twisted off and told people who told people who told me. And I had 10 seconds. I think I had 30 minutes of fear and bitterness. Then I just remembered the third step. And God was going to guarantee that my peace would grow. And it did. From then on, her telling this never hurt me at all. That's what God guarantees. Our literature usually recommends you do it with an alcoholic. There are a few people, like Father Tom, who have had a lot of association with our program, clergymen especially, who would be good to do it with. But I solidly suggest someone from the program off my own experience. I had people come to me to do it before I thought I was an alcoholic. And they tried to explain what they were doing, and I didn't have the foggiest notion what they were doing. If someone comes to you, and if you've done your fifth step, listen to them. There's no professionals. We're an amateur program. Everybody can do it. All you got to do the fifth step is have a heart. And if you've done your own fifth step, you got a heart. Just listen to them. That's all. There's no real techniques. I believe this program works so well that you could do the fifth step with a corpse if you didn't know the guy was dead. You thought he was alive, and God would give you what you need. I think he'd give you the benefits. It would come through. Individual personalities may make it a little bit easier. They may have techniques that will help. And I've got some techniques I'd pass on to you. If somebody ever wants to do a step with you, first ask them to tell you the worst thing they're going to have to say. That takes all the pain out of the step right at the start. When I did my fifth step, the guy didn't do this. And we all have these little son of a bitch things we're going to have to say. I mean, that's the only word to use there. And every step is inching toward it. So every step is agony. I got to make sure I'm going to have to say it. Oh, we're getting closer. What I do at the start, they're not ready to talk about it, but they're ready to say the word. I got big sex problems, and they're in this area. I had an abortion. I slapped my mother. That's the most shameful thing for me. They said it. Don't ask details. Walk away from it then and start the step. Another thing is if you ask questions, always exaggerate. A priest told us this in the seminary, and it's the best advice I ever got. I asked somebody how many times if they were unfaithful with their wife, how many times, you know, every day or five times a week? They said, oh, no. If people have done something in an area, put them at ease and give them an oh no area. I'll always ask that with stealing. I'll always run the figure up to a quarter of a million. I've only met one person who stole a quarter of a million. And begin and end it with prayer. Get your big book, start with the third step, and then when you're all done, end with the serenity prayer. Father Gavin last year, we really appreciated. I shared with him that I always started with the third step, and that turned him on. I had no way to end, and they always just fizzled out. We were done, and it was almost like there was something you needed. And since I've been in Oklahoma City, it occurred to me how excellent the serenity prayer is to conclude a step. So when we're finished, you know, we start holding hands with the third step, and we end holding hands with the seventh step. Okay, so do it with someone else. Pick the person wisely. Someone who will listen if any time you're going to do yours. I think someone in the program, don't pick your husband or wife. You have no right. I mean, the book says you can, but you got no right to dump all your garbage on them. And don't ask any questions. It's so human. I know it almost always happens. You come back from your fifth step, and he says, "What'd you tell him? Did you tell him anything about me?" She says the same thing. I usually tell them to go take their own step, and that's all. And this was my step, and I'll keep it to myself. The one that most people don't realize, I've come to realize the most important person in the fifth step is self. And it's the one we don't really consider. I did it by failing in an inventory of my own. I had a relationship with a gal that fell apart when I inventoried it. There is such a thing as a particular inventory. If you just got fired from your job, often you can do a particular inventory. Look at your record of jobs if you get fired a lot and write them out. If you've had a relationship break, if you're divorced or separated, write an inventory. Write the relationship with that person from the first time you met her or him. Write it all out. Because you've probably made mistakes, and if you don't learn your lesson in this area, you're going to repeat those mistakes. My sponsor passed on to me something that is horrible. It's a rule of life, and it's terrible. We are doomed to repeat our mistakes until we learn the lesson involved. Now, that's terrible. That means Al-Anons are going to continue to marry drinking alcoholics until they see in their own life the lesson. What do we do? What am I doing? And am I now willing to learn that lesson? Just being burned isn't bad enough. That's why we go back and get fired again and again and again. Or we set ourselves up again and again and again. We're doomed to repeat that pattern of mistake until we're willing to learn the lesson. So I did a particular inventory of my relationship with her. And it was a long one. It was very involved. And parts of it were very shameful. And I had a friend up from Texas in the program, and I asked him if I could share with him. I had to get rid of this. It was really tearing me apart. I shared with him, he left, and I stayed lousy. And I stayed lousy. And I have 100% faith in the program of AA. I believe if you do what you're told, you'll get what is promised always. And I was not getting what was promised, which meant to me somewhere I was not doing the step. I backed up and I looked. I had prepared, I had written. I had shared, I had admitted to God. There was no doubt about that. I couldn't doubt that. I admitted to another person. And then for the first time it dawned on me, I was not admitting to myself. I was telling him by everything I meant, this isn't Larry. I don't really act this way. This was an exception to the rule. I was ashamed. I was not admitting that this was me. In telling him, I was telling myself, this is not Larry. This is an exception to what he is. And I had to take what I wrote and read it again. And I rarely feel this ever has to be done. I don't read my inventories. I don't know that it has to be done. I have to take the inventory, and in taking it, I know what's there. For me, to go back and read it would be a tremendous downer. And I have a huge tendency to put myself down. I would just be whipping myself, and I don't need that. So I just write it and share it. That's all. But this time, I had to go back and read it and say, this is me. I may not like it, but this is me. I had to admit to myself, yes, this is Larry. As soon as I did that, the peace came. I didn't have to go back and share to somebody. I didn't have to repeat the others. I heard somebody in Oklahoma City say this. You really want to do an inventory? You really want to do it? I don't have the guts to do this. I wish I did. Maybe one of these I will. She or he, whoever it was, does their inventory three times. They write it out. They go to a church or nature and they read it aloud to God. They go to a mirror and they read it to themselves. And then they share it with another person. That's powerful. If you ever really want to do one, that'll work. I guarantee you it'll work. What I'm trying to say is, well, the one that I'm sure most of us will not look at is self. See and accept it. I had to do this. With sex problems, with emotional problems, you know, how can a priest shoplift? You know, here he is, 6 years. Priests don't shoplift. Well, I did, and I got to admit it. You know, and it was neat after I wrote it and I shared it to my class. It was really great. I already had enough peace. I was easy able to walk in and tell all these seniors to teach. I shoplifted last week. Shoplifted in the store where half of you work. And what really happened was some of them saw the point, and some of them were upset at first and came back the next day and shared, hey, that really shows how you've grown. It shows your honesty, the fact you couldn't live with it. What are the results? The results are I begin to become freer to do the 12-step of AA. I'm the message. I'm the message of this program. And I hope we can realize that and understand that. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics. And then the book says two ways what this is. Our experience, strength, and hope. What it was like, what happened, and what it is like now. I'm the message. Now, if I tell you I'm sober, so what? Walk outside, go to some place indoors today, and you'll see lots of people who are sober. But if I tell you I'm an alcoholic who's sober, when I tell you this, I'm helping you find God. I hid who I was for years behind doors, behind games, behind camouflage. I have freedom to share myself. It's fascinating to be with alcoholics because we're so real. We're so honest. Everybody else brings out the lace tablecloths. We hang out our dirty linen. And it's so free because we're showing real self. If you were all telling me about your successes in the world the day I came to AA, I never could have stayed. Y'all told me you were drunks. You understood what failure was. You understood what hatred was. You knew fear. You knew depression. You knew what it's like to hurt those who are closest to you. And I knew I was at home. I knew I was one place where I wouldn't be thrown out. I didn't have the strength to tell you I did those things yet. But you were telling me because you knew I did those things. Because we're all so much the same in our own feelings and fears. And so, since I'm the message, the fifth step gives me the freedom to make that message so much clearer. If I can admit in this one inventory, bring it out, what I hid from the world, I found since then that no one has ever come to me with a need that I haven't been able to walk by back in my own life and find something that parallels that need and share it. I can't tell all of you all of my life. My story comes in different grades. I say this, and I mean this. I have a G story. I told it to some junior high kids recently. I have a GP story. It's the one I usually tell at AA meetings. I have an R story. It's the one I usually tell at young people's AA meetings because the younger a person is when they come into our program, the more likely they are to have walked through severe pain, especially in sexual areas. And it's I'm freer there. I have an X-rated story that I've told three times publicly because all three times there was a very deep need. One was at a young people's conference. Another was in a penitentiary where people from that young people's conference begged me to share it because they had deep needs. And another was as an AA group in the same area where the same problems existed. I could no way share that story with you today. I could if for some reason I became aware there was a need for you to hear it. In counseling, or I don't like to counsel. Counsel is giving advice. This is the distinction. We share ourselves. We don't have to share advice. You come to me with a problem. If I tell you what to do, I've counseled you. If I tell you what I've done, I've gone the AA way. If I tell you what to do, I've put pressure on you. If I tell you what I've done, you can figure I'm nuts. You can relax when you hear it. You can figure there might be some reason it'll work for you, and you can then try it. And that's why the AA way usually doesn't put pressure on people. So when people come to me and I'm sharing with them, I have freedom to do this. I can look at my own life, I can look at myself, and I can just, I have brought up things that for 35 years I didn't tell a walking person on earth. And I've told countless people these things without smile, without batting an eyelash. I'm free to share myself. And so I'm freer to carry the message. I'm freer to present the message than I have ever been before. I'd like to just share with you, when people do the fifth step, they have different reactions. Some people rock it. You almost are pulling them down from the ceiling before the step ends. And they're the people who usually talk about it in AA because it was so great. And everybody then has a feeling that when you do the fifth step, you're just going to way up. When I do the fifth step, I walk out depressed. I've just spent 3 to 6 hours muddying the water, getting up all that muck from the bottom of the pond. And the water is muddy, and I don't like it. And I go into a depression always. I wish I could have that high. I don't want to mock the people who do it because it's great for them. Most people don't get depressed. Most people don't rock it. Most people feel drained. They've just had a spiritual enema. And they're not sure how they feel. It ain't bad, but they're not sure. Everybody down the line gets the same results. And it's important for those of us who don't rock it to share. Yeah, I did my fifth step and I felt nothing when I walked out but relieved. So that people in a group will have background in case they're not a rocketer. I had a gal come to me, drove to Alva, did a fifth step, and hated me. She was so mad, she threatened to twist off on drugs before she got back to the city. Her experience was so lousy that 2 people in Oklahoma City have come up and made amends to me for things they said about me at the meeting she attended when she got back and reported on me. The gal is today one of my closest friends in the program. 2 weeks, sometime in the past 2 weeks, I'll put it here since it's indefinite enough, she came and she updated her inventory. Almost done. She updated her, it's going here, they are. She came and she updated her inventory, and I just solidly appreciated the fear she had. Imagine if your first session was traumatic. There were a lot of things that she was saying that she didn't want to hear. Like, sometimes people would come with patterns, this is not hers, but women will constantly be marrying women 15 and 25 and 35 years older than them, and they don't see it, and they don't want to see it. They're saying it, and they don't want to see it. The book says that talking to another person, we gain new insights into ourselves, and this, we got to hear our patterns. And if we don't want to, there's a struggle. So sometimes there's a battle. Castrators battle. And you can be a passive castrator. These are the worst steps to hear from me. A woman comes in, and she just sits there so quietly and so meekly. And you ask her, tell me about your father. And she talks about her job. And you say, okay, we've talked about your religion long enough. Let's go into your home a little bit. And she goes right on talking about her religion. And she does this very quietly. And it took me a while to see this. She feels she's very meek walking through the world. But she is just walking and getting her will everywhere, all the time, always. And to take someone like this and show them, you're running the show. And she battles the whole time. The entire step is a fight because she's determined to make it what she wants. And she's determined not to see this either. Some of these things are battles. Anyway, this gal who came to me, she had had a lot of unpleasant discoveries in her inventory, and she was coming back. And for it to be that bad and to come back for another, you can imagine what she was fearing. She just told me when it was all over, and it was one of the neatest steps I've ever heard. I had tears in my eyes. I still can't cry, but I had tears in my eyes listening to her. And it was just a wonderful experience. She had some neat tears in her eyes, and she rocketed. And it was a nice thing, you know, just the opposite. She came when she expected to rocket, she thudded. And when she knew that she was going to thud again, she just took off. But you can't ever really know how a particular person is going to feel in hearing it. In hearing a step, one thing, please, to open yourself up for a step, never say you haven't done anything at AA. Please. Unless you do it in such a nice way that you're not going to hurt. Never say, well, at least I never, because that's a put-down. Never say, because I've heard so many women say this, at least I never had to be a prostitute. I have many, many close friends in the program, friends who were prostitutes. I have one who is. They're beautiful women. And if you heard their lives, you'd know why they were. One of the saddest lives I've ever heard, and I can share these things because there's no way you'd ever know. I know a gal who at the age of 3 wanted to be a prostitute and at the age of 14 became one. Her mother was one. When her mother was working as a prostitute, the guys would give her favors and there was money. And every so often her mother married. And you can imagine the kind of guy who usually marry a prostitute. And life was miserable, there was no money, and they slapped her around. And before this gal was 3 years old, in her mind, marriage meant misery and prostitution meant peace. That's all she ever knew. She's a beautiful woman today. She meditates every day. She's just a beautiful woman. I've heard people say, at least I was never in prison. I was never in prison, but I should have been. You know, they don't make you saint of the year or citizen of the year when you steal every cent in the poor fund. It was grand larceny. You know, I thought I was better than all these people in the pen until I did my inventory. I didn't want to sit next to them in AA. I was, after I've done my inventory, I've done what they've done, except I was smarter in who I stole from. So don't, and I'm saying this so that in case you ever hear a step, don't ever comment on what people have done. If they're telling you, they're telling you because they're not proud of it. They don't need to hear things like, you pig. They're not. You know, or they don't need a, boy, that was wrong. I've never heard anybody, I mean this now, I have never heard anybody say anything that by the time they got around to telling me where it fit in their life, I didn't know why they were doing it. I've never heard a single person say a single thing that I could say, I wouldn't have done that if I were walking their shoes. We did what we did because we had to do it. I made all my mistakes to stay alive. So is everyone else. Today, can you be open with us, or are you ashamed of part of who you are? Check your eye contact. Check your peace. Check your sharing. When you share at AA, are your stories getting more general? Are you forgetting the specifics? Do you tend to parade only the laced linen cloth? Are you uncomfortable with your dirty wash? If you are, I suggest you need to just try to be more open with the world and live your own fifth step. Whew. The igloo's over. At 11 o'clock, we'll meet for a brief session upstairs in our own place. We're going to talk about the slogans. It will not be a conference this way. The only conferences this way, well, I still want to do one more, but we're going to share. I'll just go around, and we're all going to talk about the slogans. Here and up there, I want to remind you, tonight, I've asked Awana if she would lead the AA meeting. The topic of the meeting is my favorite step to God. What I mean by this is we're just going to go around, and we keep it brief. You're going to be asked to talk about if you've ever worked the steps, if you're in AA, take the step that has been most meaningful to you. What step has been most important thus far in your life? Not necessarily today, but most far in your life. Your fifth, was there a nine-step experience? And we could just share our favorite step in this way, okay? So let's close with the Our Father here, and then we'll resume in a few minutes.